Don't just dream about a brighter future. Go for it. If you want to pursue a career involving technology, look to a leader in technology education, ITT Technical Institute. ITT Tech offers career-focused programs in electronics technology, information technology, and drafting and design. Call 800-741-5123. You can develop knowledge and skills that you can use to pursue opportunities in a variety of career fields. ITT Tech's programs are designed to give you practical, real-world experience. Classes and day or evening courses meet just a few days each week. Career services are available for students and graduates, and financial aid is available for those who qualify. Would a career involving technology make your dreams come true? Call ITT Tech right now for more information. Call 800-741-5123. 800-741-5123. That's 800-741-5123.
Blog Talk Radio.
Warning. Please be prepared to leave your comfort zone immediately. The construct and belief system that surrounds you will be deconstructed. We will take you beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality. Ever beyond.
Good evening, good afternoon, and welcome to Ever Beyond. Tonight I was thinking about using the electromagnetic spectrum as a model, but at the same time, it's a diagram in a way. Let's look at things for a second. Imagine you're sitting in front of a piano. And you look at the notes arranged in the piano, you'll see that they're arranged in little groups of, and you see the black notes, there's four of them, then three of them, then four of them, then three of them. And they repeat, they have a repeating pattern over 12, and these are what we call the chromatic scale. Turns out that it's not a linear thing, it's actually a spiral, because if you look at the actual frequencies of the notes, as we go up the scale, we see that they don't kind of go up, they don't go up 50 cycles or 60 cycles for every note. It's a mathematical formula. It's what's called a harmonic formula. And there's been a lot of talk about frequencies later. So I want to talk about frequency. And I really don't want to lose anybody. So if I go a little too far, do call me in and ask me to explain stuff, because it's one of these things. It's like it's almost so simple that you could miss it because of its simplicity, and yet at the same time it can become very complex. If you haven't come across one or two of the components of the construction of things, for instance, if I were to use the word exponential, it's a precise meaning with mathematics, and like I said, this encompasses mathematics, it encompasses physics, and potentially chemistry and biology, but let's stick with the physics end of it, which is vibrations. Physics deals with really the low end of the electromagnetic spectrum, and the middle of it, and probably the high end of it as well. When we talk about the electromagnetic spectrum, let's just talk about what it is. It's almost an abstract thing to talk about, because although it's very real to us, you know, we see light, we smell things, we hear things. The movement between the electric element and the magnetic element, because as I said, it's an electromagnetic situation. That means that there's a wave in the electric field, okay? And this wave is kind of rippling along in the way that water ripples, you know, that waves run through water. But at the same time, at 90 degrees to it, there's another wave, and this wave is magnetic. And this is the magnetic component of the electromagnetic wave. And in a way, I'm not sure if I'm passing on information, but I'm calling for research to see what everybody thinks. Because here we are, we're talking about a electromagnetic situation, which means that there's an electric component and a magnetic component, and they're at right angles to each other. If that hasn't lost anybody, I don't know what will. How would you picture that? It's essentially, if you were looking down its length, you would see a cross. If you were looking to the side of it, you'd see, how would you see it? Because waves, I mean, basically you're looking at two waves. It's like having, here's a wave. Imagine you can see the surface of water, and you see the ripples moving around on the surface of the water. Imagine if then, at that point, you took the surface and turned it 90 degrees until you have two surfaces. Now, I know that's impossible, but you can do that with your mind. That's what we're talking about. That's what electromagnetism is. That's what light is. That's what radio waves are. When we're talking about the spectrum, let's start talking about the difference, first of all, between acoustic waves and electromagnetic waves. Right, okay, you can have an acoustic wave. That's how the sound is coming from my throat to the microphone. And at that point, it's then turned into a electric signal, which is then digitized, etc., and across the internet, blah, blah, blah. When we have an acoustic wave, that's what we're talking about. It's a wave in the fluid that we call air. That's what we call sound. Now, at the same time, invisible to us, we could have an electromagnetic wave along the same frequency lines, and we would be deaf to it. We would not hear it because it's in the electromagnetic sphere. And we've only got acoustic ears, so we hear. Maybe some animals, some creatures in this world can hear the electromagnetic waves, because we do perceive electromagnetic waves. And the main way we see them is we see them as light. Light is a frequency in the electromagnetic spectrum. In the same way we have notes in the acoustic scales, what we call the acoustic spectrum, is from around 30 to 40 cycles a second up around 15 to 20, depending on how old you are, cycles a second. And that's basically what we call the audio spectrum, starting off with very, very low notes, like you'd get on the left-hand end of a piano, and ending up at the very, very high notes, such as you find at the right-hand end of the piano. But what you see when you look at the piano keyboard is a series of repeated patterns, coming back to the beginning of fours and threes, as we go up and down the scale. If we play a note of C in the middle of the piano, and we play a note of C to the left-hand end of the piano, and a note of C to the right-hand end of the piano, we see that the sound, although it's higher or lower, it's the same sound, it's the same key. So for instance, we can play all the notes of E all up and down the piano, and you're essentially making a very similar vibration, just higher or lower. And we've discovered through use of mathematics and physics and measuring things that when you measure the frequency of an E that is in the low and an E that is in the high, they have a mathematical relationship, and it's literally doubled. And when you double the frequency of a note, you get the same note in the next octave up. Okay, so this is very interesting to bear in mind, that if you double the frequency, you get the next octave up. When you double the frequency, you tighten the spiral, and that spiral tightens by a certain fixed amount. And this is the way that when I describe an exponential relationship between notes, that between one note and another is a doubling of frequency. So, for instance, in one scale may only be spanning 10 cycle band, you know, between 10 cycles a second and 20 cycles a second, but that's an octave. When it's further up in the scale, it might be 10,000 and 20,000 cycles, but it's still the relationship between the two numbers that determines whether it's an octave or not. Okay, so it's basically you double the you double the frequency, you come up with an octave. Now, if we were then to start applying that to light, we discover that the frequency of light is only in one octave. We only see one octave. That's like being deaf to the entire piano and only seeing only being able to hear the middle notes, the middle 12 notes, the middle 7 notes of the piano. That's how limited we are when we're talking about our human vision. And that's why I don't like to talk about colors, because it's a bit random, really. Some people see colors that are biased towards the red end of the spectrum. Some people seem to see colors that are biased towards the blue end of the spectrum. I believe that people who are so-called colorblind see blue very well, but don't see greens, because the perception is just shifted, that's all. So what about the higher frequencies? Thoughts that I've been having this week are, is there a rainbow in the ultraviolet band? That means that when you go beyond the visible, is it still in colors? I believe it is. And I believe that what we call UVA and UVB and UVC are essentially ultra red and ultra green and ultra blue in the ultraviolet spectrum. And what happens in the next octave and the next octave after that? They're still colors. They're still bands of color. We can't see them. We can't perceive them. I'm sure we have instrumentation that can do so. So, yeah, Brucey. So we're talking about a spectrum, and the interesting thing is that if I play an E in my acoustic spectrum here, it will resonate with everything that is tuned to an E in my nearest vicinity. If I got a little violin and it's got an E string there and it's up on the wall, and I play an E on my bass guitar, this little string starts singing away. And that's essentially how a sitar works. You have a bunch of strings that are tuned to particular notes, chikaris they call them. And as well as playing them with his little fingernail, the notes are struck off when the sitarist plays the note on the main set of strings, and they resonate. They've got little resonances. Ah. Yes, you should have sound. So, how are we doing? When we're looking at the electromagnetic spectrum, as I said, we have colors in our light. What about colors in the frequencies that are lower? Well, surely, definitely. And there is one particular frequency. Now I'm going to get really technical sounding here. And it sounds a bit weird as well, because it's 660 nanometers. Now, when you measure light, it's not useful anymore to talk about cycles per second, because we're talking about a very, very large number of, you know, 10 or 12 digits. So instead of measuring things in terms of the frequency per second, it's measured in the length of the wave in nanometers, which is a billionth of a meter, or a millionth of a millimeter. And that's the sort of, that's when they talk about nanotechnology, they're talking about these kind of measurements. Anyway, so light has measurements that are in the hundreds of nanometer range. So the frequency of the color that we call red is around maybe 70 or 500 or 600 or something like that. And as the waves get shorter, remember a shorter wavelength means a higher frequency. So a shorter wavelength comes to the higher frequencies. So very short light waves are things like ultraviolet waves, and longer light waves are things like infrared. And there is one specific infrared frequency, which is called 660 nanometers, which if you were to look at, would probably be about the color of the brake lights on a car. When a car stops, the lights up red at the back. It's about that sort of color. It's a sort of orangey red. It's a very warm color. And this frequency is used in various treatment units nowadays because it's the frequency of the very tiny amounts of light that DNA produces. And when you can flood the body with this light, all sorts of interesting healing effects happen. You can shine it into your bloodstream, and very, very beneficial effects happen from it. And I'm talking from a personal perspective because I've just taken delivery of a lovely little unit which can produce that frequency. But you can buy these things at your local hardware store, Radio Shack store. 660 nanometers. You put one of those in an LED torch and you create a little acupuncture device that you can use to heal yourself and your pets even. So that's one use of frequency. And there are other uses of frequency in terms of just giving the body a frequency can be enough to give it enough energy to heal, because that's how the energy is transferred in the body, through the light, through the white material that surrounds muscle, which is called fascia. It's like a fiber optic network, and your brain connects with your body in frequencies. So it sends a frequency of light pulse through your white system, and it arrives at the muscle, and it recognizes, that's my frequency, I will contract. Very interesting. I've been studying this for quite a little while. But the upshot of it is, what I'm interested in, and I don't know the answer to this question, as I was talking earlier, the electromagnetic spectrum it comprises mostly of a very large electric wave and a very small magnetic wave. Is this something that is affected by our movement from the galactic south to the galactic north? And does that mean that instead of electromagnetic waves, we have magnetoelectric waves, where the component is higher in the magnetic range than in the electric range? Or is it the other way around? I don't know. Discuss, as they say. I'm very interested in seeing what interesting results we find when people as a group look for things like this. What happens to electromagnetism? I believe, it's my personal belief, that magnetoelectrism is the mother load of information that we've been missing, where we've been talking about a lot of the energy in the universe is invisible. I believe it's magnetoelectric as opposed to electromagnetic. And that's why we can't see it, because we haven't got instruments yet that can pick this stuff up. However, I believe that's the nature of telepathic or psychic information in the human body and between bodies, that it's magnetoelectrism, even though it's impossible to pronounce it, is the key to understanding various psychic phenomena. Perhaps it's something to do with the Uri Geller phenomena that can bend spoons. Or maybe he's just faking it, I don't know. So, we have spectra, different places in the octaves, and everywhere in an octave, some receptor or another, and some creature or another, is activated. Now, snakes, apparently, see in infrared. They don't see much in the visible light spectrum. Maybe they see colors as well. As far as we're concerned, it's just red, or then it becomes invisible. All over our life, all over the world, are invisible rainbows. Imagine that. Imagine being able to tune your eyes to radio waves and seeing the different color lights that are produced by the radio stations. You'd certainly see why people got headaches and weren't very well if they sat next to them. Imagine if we could see the colors of Wi-Fi. It's interesting. I don't know all the answers, but I'd like everybody to investigate for themselves. What part of the electromagnetic spectrum can we perceive? Well, part of the electromagnetic spectrum, for instance, is smell. Well, surely there must be. What kind of part of the electromagnetic system is the vibrations we get from people? Do you think these are electromagnetic vibrations? Very low frequency? Say when somebody moves their hand, they're causing a wave in the air around them. It sends a ripple out. Do you think it also happens in the electromagnetic spectrum as well? We can't even hear it, but we can feel it. What else can we feel? Yeah, some people can see radio waves. They've trained their eyes so they can see radio waves. That would be cool. Maybe we'll all be able to do that one day. And then we'd turn off all the radio transmitters because it would be blinding us. We have magnetic particles in our hands. And that's where we believe the nature of pranic healing and magnetic healing happens. That we have magnetic particles that we cause to vibrate with our minds or our brains, that transmit some kind of healing energy. Well, perhaps we're just sending out an invisible 660 nanometer electromagnetic wave from our arm, from our hand. Maybe the chakras can be explained in terms of magnetoelectrism. Maybe we can one day find a machine that can look at magnetoelectrism and measure it and display it on a monitor. Because after all, that's all we want, really. We just want to see a picture of it. You know, whether it's a meter needle moving, or a nice, pretty little diagram in three dimensions like you see on Star Trek. That would be the best, wouldn't it? There are more particles than our scientists are able to count and detect. They found a whole bunch of neutrino emissions that don't seem to be coming from anywhere specific, but could only be coming from somewhere specific. There are new energies that seem to be coming from the sun that change the decay rate of radioactive materials. This could mean the end to the carbon dating system. Because if you say, well, every so often the sun poops out these particles that change the decay rate, things could be much older or maybe much younger than we think. All very interesting to speak about, to think about. I hope I've provided a little bit of food for your thoughts. Somebody's called in. I wonder what they want to say. Let's talk to them at the end. Hello, you're on the air. Erica 66.
Oh, Jeremy, it's Earth Mom. I'm just listening, but loving it. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much. Okay. We got any comments?
No, because I tuned in a bit late. So,
all right.
Yeah, I mean, I do believe, though, that there are all the particles and energy, and when we do move our hand, it probably is a wave that goes with it, but it's not seeing it.
Definitely. Mm. Okay. Thanks
see
a lot,
well.
Mama. I'll see you soon. Oops. Oh, well, there we go. So, back to the spectrums. The rays somewhere along this line, they speak of personality and soul. Somewhere along the line, in some spectrum or other, the energy of the soul exists as a frequency, just like a radio station. Somewhere in your DNA, there's a link to the radio station that is your soul, broadcasting its message. And are you listening to it? I would very much encourage people to speak to their higher selves. Just take a piece of paper, start a conversation, say hello, see what happens. You may find that you're hearing a voice very much like your own. You might want to write it down and read it later. Sometimes you may want to communicate with somebody else's soul. Your soul is able to do that. It's the best thing. It's yours. It's your own personal firewall. Nothing can get in the way. A very secure connection. I would certainly recommend as much of that as possible. And then you can't go wrong, because you've made your connection with your soul, and the only person that can then, after that, possess you is you. Yes. What's this? Have a quick. The random frequencies we get in our ears. Very recently, I had an interesting experience of. There was a lot of pressure a couple of weeks ago, and I normally have a tinnitus, what people call tinnitus. Anyway, recently heard from some material that it was to do with muscle tension, and that weekend was so terrible. I felt very, very tense and very pressured and squeezed. Anyway, so I sat down and I listened to some of this noise that was going on in my head, multiple frequencies, you know, 10 to 15 to 100 different frequencies, very high-pitched frequencies in my head, and I wasn't feeling very well. And I just imagined, you know, I would hear the frequency, and I just imagined in my head, release. And the strange thing is that actually, there was some kind of release. A muscle would relax. Often it was one of the muscles that was holding my shoulders up, and I'd feel immediately my shoulders would just drop, more relaxed. So, really, if you do get the sound of things in your head, I believe it's like a kind of alarm bell ringing, that you've left the muscle in tension. So, if you do hear whistling, just try this. Just try it and say in your mind, listen to the sound. Okay? Release. Just say that in your mind and see what happens. Let me know. I'm very interested in creating groups who are interested in this kind of thing. Frequency healing and investigating frequencies in general. So, I have less than a minute left. Thank you very much, brothers and sisters, for joining me this evening. I'm very pleased to have a nice little audience to speak to, and do have a fantastic week, and I'll see you next week at the same time here on Blog Talk Radio, Ever Beyond. One day I'll get off here and I'll have 2 hours or something like that. And so until that time, good night.